Okay, Rabbi, so we're on Daf Kuf Gimel Vez. Oh, I see a new face here, so Shalom Aleichem, welcome. And we're in the Sugya on the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. If you recall, the Mishnah established that if there was a claim against someone, an accusation that he stole money, and that person denied the claim, that Goslin, it turns out he was a Goslin, he even went a step further, he took a false oath, a Shvua Sheker, to the effect that he denied the claim that it's not true that he stole, and he took such a Shvua. Now the Mishnah says he, the Goslin, wants to do tshuva, he wants to get kapara. He decided he has a change of heart. And the Mishnah establishes here on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis that in order to achieve kapara, he needs to pay not only the value of the gzela, but he has to add what's called a chomesh, another 20%. He has to bring a carbon asham. And of course, in this process of returning the gzela, he's got a guarantee that the nigzal, the victim of his crime, will receive the payment, or if the original object is still intact, to return the object. And that's called, in the language of the Mishnah, Yolicho Le Madai. Madai is a far-off country, and if it turns out that the nigzal is all the way in Madai, then that's the headache of the Goslin. He will not be able to achieve the kapara unless he actually takes a slow boat to China and finally returns the object that he stole or its value. That's going to be based on a drasha and a pasuk, which we'll soon see. Now, the Gemara wants to know, how do we reconcile this Mishnah with a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? What's the case of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? A man stole something from one of five people. He doesn't know which of the five people he stole from. And Rabbi Tarfon says, "Meiniach esagzel beneim mistalik." He can just simply put it down, make it accessible to these five individuals, and let them, one slug the other. You know, each one will hit the other one until finally they battle it out, and that's enough. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he says, "No, he's not going to achieve his kapara until he returns the gzeil to each one of these five people, until he absolutely is certain that the one that from whom he stole has received and the object has been returned to him." Now keep in mind that this machlok stream Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is not limited to a case where the Goslin took a shvua, at least at this point in the Gemara, meaning when the Mishnah presents the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, it doesn't qualify in any way that we're talking about a case where the Goslin took a shvua. The impression you get is that the Goslin did not take a shvua, or it would be irrelevant, let's put it that way, whether the Goslin took a shvua. So the Gemara at this point says that our Mishnah does not square neither with Rabbi Akiva nor with Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Because Rabbi Tarfon is not going to require that we guarantee that the gzela be returned to the nigzal. He's going to say meniach beneim mistalik, and that's going to apply even in a case where he took a shvua, because again it was unqualified. Rabbi Akiva, from his point of view, even in a case presumably where he didn't take a shvua, nevertheless requires that the gzela be returned to each of these five people. And when the Gemara presents this question, which we'll go through, I mean, we mentioned it last week, but I want to see it again with a fresh start, so to speak. The Gemara is operating with the following premise, that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are debating the issue of how does a Goslin fulfill his required hashava. The Torah says, "Veishav zagzela shel gozal." How does he return this gzela? Does he have to, l'chor according to that Mishnah, until the gzela is given over to the hands of the nigzal, the Goslin has not fulfilled his din hashava, but that's qualified, and it's only applicable if he took a shvua. If he did not take a shvua, then the Gazlan has a right to send a text message or whatever it might be to the Nigzal and say, you know, when you get a chance, when you're back from Modai here to Babel or wherever you come, stop by and collect your Gzela. The Machlok Shin Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Tarfa doesn't seem to fit into either position. It's like the law of the excluded middle over here, because Rabbi Tarfon is saying that you don't have to guarantee, the Gazan doesn't have to guarantee that the object is returned to the Nigzal, even if the Gazlan took a Shvuah. That's the premise of the Gemara. And Rabbi Akiva says that the Gazan has to guarantee that the object is returned to the Nigzal, even if the Gazlan did not take a Shvuah. Neither Rabbi Tarfon nor Rabbi Akiva make it dependent upon the Shvuah. And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't work out according to either one of them. Let's see if what I told you is correct. So we're looking at the Gemara now, which is about six lines down from the top. The Gemara says, Nishbalo in, when do we apply this rule? When does the Mishnah say that the Gazan has to return it to the Nigzal, even if it means he's got to take a trip to Modai? That's only if he took a Shvuah. Lo nishba lo, had he not taken the shvuah, then he just notifies the Nigzal that he's ready, he's prepared to return the object, and then he could go on and achieve his kapara. He'll pay, well, he's not paying it until the Nigzal comes to collect the money, but in the meantime he can go ahead and bring a karban asham. And the Gemara now thinks that the entire Mishnah, in its definition of hashava as Yolichenu le'achrov le'modai, is predicated on the Shvuah. It's the Shvuah Sheker that the Gazlan took that engenders this new din of Yolichenu le'modai. Says the Gemara, Mani. We cannot, well, Mani doesn't mean we cannot, but Mani is a rhetorical question. Now, how do we reconcile this Mishnah? How do we attribute, to whom do we attribute the authorship of this Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Tarfon, v'lo Rabbi Akiva. They argue about a specific case of how do you return to one of five people? Do you have to return to all the five people? They seem to be totally oblivious to the issue of a shvuah sheker, and the implication of that shvuah sheker, namely that yolichenu le modai. This not because we learned in the Mishnah. Gazal echad mechamisha v'eni yodeh meizamehen. Gazal, I'll add that word. We don't know, and the Gazan doesn't know from whom he stole. V'chol echad omer osi gazal, you stole it from me. So each one of these, you know, four out of the five, I think, are probably telling a lie. You know, that's what
you think.
Am I right here about this? I mean, each one out of five people say you stole it from me.
Yes.
So he demands that the hashava that he return the gzela. Says Rabbi Tarfon, me niach gzela beneim mistalik. That's all he has to do is place the object or the value in front of them and just, you know, skedaddle. You know, he's out of here. I'm out of here.
But what, according to Rabbi Tarfon, what carbon would he bring then? He can't bring an Asham Gizela because he doesn't know. He'd have to bring an Asham Tolod.
Well, again, you talked where he did take a Shvuah, he didn't take a Shvuah.
Oh, no Shvuah.
So if he didn't take a Shvuah, then he's not... No Gazlan is Chayav. You're talking about a case where he took a Shvuah.
No,
the carbon is only because he took a Shvuah Sheker. That's undeniable.
Okay,
that's the one thing about this Sugi Allen that I can tell you. I can take a Shvuah, and it would not be a Shvuah Sheker, that it's true, right?
Okay, I didn't know that.
If in the scenario of Rabbi Tarfon he did take a shvuah, which means he took a shvuah to five people, and in each one of, I don't know if he takes one shvuah to all five or five separate shvuahs. I mean, for that you have to know Masechta the shvuahs. But be that as it may, if he definitely took a false shvuah, then he has to bring a carbon asham.
Which asham?
That's called an Asham Gzelus. Asham Gzelus means whenever a person takes a Shvuah and through that Shvuah he steals something, it's got to be a Shavu Pruta, then in order to achieve Kapara he must bring what? A Karban Asham Gzelus. And all this, all the rhyme and the verse here is going to be brought out in the Sugya. We'll see the Psukim inside. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Lozu haderech, it's not enough that he just simply places the gzeil and says, you guys fight it out. Lotzio midei avera, to relieve him of any punishment for the violation of gzeila. Achi shalem gzeila l'chol echad v'echad. He's got to return the gzeila to each one, and in that way guarantee that the nigzal gets it back. And the Gemara at this point thinks that this din of stealing from one of five people, the machlokas here is a fundamental machlokas about hashavas hagzela. Rabbi Tarfon holds that as far as the din of hashav is concerned, all the gazan has to do is take it out of his possession. He doesn't have to guarantee that it's returned to the nigzal. And again, it's not going to make any difference whether he took a shvua or not. That's the fundamental din or definition of hashavas hagzela according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds that in all circumstances, the gazan has to absolutely guarantee that the nigzal receives in return his gzeila, which means that according to Rabbi Akiva, the din of hashavas hagzeila requires not just taking it out of your possession, Mr. Gazlan, but guaranteeing that the nigzal received it back. And the Gemara says that although Rabbi Akiva seems a lot closer to our Mishnah, in other words, he does seem to embrace the basic underlying principle of Yolichenu Liv Madai, but nevertheless, there is one fundamental difference which makes Rabbi Akiva an adversary of our Mishnah. He doesn't comply with that Mishnah. Mani, Rabbi Tarfon, if you're going to tell me Rabbi Tarfon is the author of Mishnah, Afal Gav de Ishtaba, when Rabbi Tarfon says, Meiniach Beinayim, it's like Zel Beinayim Mistalik, it applies even if he took a Shvua, Afal Gav de Ishtaba. So the Gazan took a Shvua Sheker, and nevertheless, Omar Rabbi Tarfon rules that Meiniach Hagzela Beinayim Mistalik. According to that Shita, the Gazan doesn't have to go all the way to Madai, even though he took a Shvua Sheker. Haraya, in Rabbi Tarfon's ruling, there's no guarantee that the Gazlan is going to receive it. In fact, all the Gazlan is doing is he's taking it out of his possession. He's not putting it into the possession of the Nigzal. And yet, Rabbi Tarfon applies this rule, Mistama, what we said, Mistama, if he didn't qualify, even if the Gazlan took a Shvua Sheker, which means that Rabbi Tarfon absolutely undermines or rejects the principle of our Mishnah. So that's Rabbi Tarfon is not a candidate for authorship of our Mishnah. But V'i Rabbi Akiva, we're not going to do much better with Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva likewise did not qualify his statement, and he required that we guarantee that the Gazlan guarantee that the Nigzal receives his Gzela, even in a case where there was no Shmua, Afal Gav de Loish Taba. Omar, nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva insists, Ad she is Shalem Gzela Lechol Echad V'Echad. It means that the fundamental definition of Hashavas HaGzela, according to Rabbi Akiva, is Yolichenu Le Modai, even if he did not take a Shvua. Our mission, on the other hand, insists that it's not a fundamental definition of Gzela that engenders this halach of Yolichenu Le Modai, but rather the halacha of Shvua Sheker engenders this brand new chiyuv. Meaning, according to our Mishnah, the basic, you know, if you strip Hashava of all its Shvua elements and you just focus and zoom in on the Hashava, Hashava Sakzela means that the Gazlan is placing the object or the money of the value of the object at the disposal of the Nigzal. He doesn't have to do anything beyond that. When there's a Shvua Sheker, then we activate this parsha of Yolichenu Lemadai. And that sheet of our Mishnah does not reflect neither Rabbi Tarfon, who would say that even if he took a Shvua, he doesn't have to return the object into the hands of the Nigzal, he just has to get it out of his Rishus. Nor does it reflect the attitude of Rabbi Akiva, who says that even if he did not take a Shvua Sheker, nevertheless he's got a guarantee that the object is returned to the Nigzal, meaning Rabbi Akiva is postulating in his basic nitty-gritty definition of Hashavas HaGzela, the din of Madai, Yolichenu Lemadai, has nothing to do with the Shvua, but rather it's inherent in my basic definition of Hashava. Rabbi Tarfon, from his perspective, completely rejects the din of Yolichenu L'Madai, even in a case where he did take a Shvua, and basically they're arguing about Hashavas HaGzeilah. And there's no difference whether there was a Shvua or there's not a Shvua. Rabbi Tarfon's definition of Hashavas HaGzeilah applies even if he did in fact take a Shvua. That doesn't change the din or the definition of Hashava. Rabbi Akiva's definition of Hashava applies even if he did not take a Shvua. So the Gemara at this point wants to know, you know, how do we wiggle ourselves out of this problem here? Because the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon of Gozal Echa Mechamish Bnei Adam is addressing both Nishpa and Eino Nishpa, and if the Machlokas is fundamental about Hashavas HaGzeilah, then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't jive, if you will, with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about a case where he took, and only if he took a Shvua. So now at this point, the Gemara is going to have to reinterpret the Machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in such a way that we can reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah in, happens to be in Masechta Yevamos. Li Olam, says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, he, our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And that makes me breathe a sigh of relief, because if I had to choose between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, which one has the spirit of our Mishnah, of the definition of Hashava Ad Lemadai, it's certainly Rabbi Akiva is more in line with that. Ah, but we're going to have to say that Rabbi Akiva is qualified. V'chi ka'amar Rabbi Akiva, we have to qualify Rabbi Akiva when he says Hashi Yishalim Gzela L'chol Echad V'Echad, that Rabbi Akiva requires that you guarantee, the Gazlan guarantee that the Nigzal received his object. That's Hechad Ishtabahu D'Kamar. Rabbi Akiva must be talking about a case where the Nigzal, where the Gazlan took a Shvua Sheker, then the Shvua Sheker activates the requirement of Laholich Esagzeira L'Madai. In other words, you have to guarantee that the Nigzal receives his object. If the Gazlan had not taken a Shvua, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that the halacha is Meiniach Esagzeira Bifneim Mistalek. So this is fascinating. It comes out that at this particular point in the presentation of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva is not really that far from Rabbi Tarfon. Even Rabbi Akiva, as far as the basic definition of Hashava, would embrace the Shita of Meiniach Es HaGzeilah Beineihem U'Mistalek. We have to understand why. Because at this point, Rabbi Akiva does not accept this, you know, high level of Hashava, the requirement of Atshi Olichenu L'Madai, except for the case where he took a Shvua. So again, the Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon applies in a situation where he took a Shvua. Obviously, our Mishnah could not be reconciled with Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon, in the very case where he took a Shvua, is still maintaining that there's no requirement of Atshi Olichenu L'Madai. All he has to do is Meiniach Esagzela Beineihem U'Mistalek. So now the Gemara wants to analyze Rabbi Akiva. Umay Taima, what's the reason for Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, why does Rabbi Akiva insist, like our Mishnah, that if the Gazan took a Shvua Sheker, then, and only then, do we engender this Chiyuv Hashava of the upgraded nature that he has to be Molechit to Modai? And the answer is the Omar Kra, because the Torah. Now, I'm going to read the entire Pasuk, because we have to know the context of this pasuk. The pasuk is Vayikra Hey, and it says, as far as Shvua Sheker is concerned, O mikol asher yishava olav l'sheker, meaning in any circumstance where the nitba, right, the defendant took a Shvua Sheker, l'asher hu lo yitnenu b'yom hashmoso, to whom the money belongs, he's got to give it on the day in which he wants to bring his asham and achieve his kapor. And that's because it's mikol asher yishava olav l'sheker. The pasuk itself is addressing the case where he took a shvua sheker. We'll soon see that pasuk is not limited to gzela, but applies in any case where he denies some sort of claim, monetary claim, and he takes a shur sheker to that effect. And the Torah in such a case imposes this brand new chiyuv hashava lo yitnenu. And what does lo yitnenu mean? La holich es hagzela le modai. But that again is engendered by the Shvuah Sheker. That's both our Mishnah and at this point Rabbi Akiva. What do we do with Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Tarfon doesn't seem to require returning the object to its owner. Haraya, Rabbi Tarfon says, Meniach es agzel b'nei mistalik. And if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Tarfon is talking about a case where he did not take a Shvuah, then there's no machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, because again, at this point, Rabbi Akiva accepts the basic principle of Rabbi Tarfon as far as the nitty-gritty definition of Hashavah without a Shvuah Sheker, that all he has to do is make it accessible to the Nigzal, Meiniach Meinem, Esakzel Meinem Mistali. Al Korchenu, if there's a machlokas here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, it's got to be in the case where he took a Shvuah Sheker, and nevertheless, Rabbi Tarfon insists that Meiniach Beinayim es Agzel Beinayim Umistalek Afal Gav Dishtaba, he took a Shvuah Sheker. And basically what the Gemara is saying now at this point is that Rabbi Tarfon is contradicting a Pasuk in Chumash, wherever you pronounce it. Because the Pasuk itself says that if he took a Shvuah Sheker, then Lasher Lo Yitnenu Lo. Lasher Hu Lo Yitnenu. Lo Yitnenu means he's got to give it to him. It's not enough that he takes it out of his reshut. That's in the case where he took a shvuah. But Rabbi Tarfon went as far as to deny this halacha of Yolichenu, Achrav, Lemodai, even in the case where he took a shvuah. What do we do with the pasuk? And the Gemara answers, Avud, Takanta, what the Chachamim did according to Rabbi Tarfon is they made a takana, meaning on a Doraisa level, Ein Achinami. Rabbi Tarfon, like Rabbi Akiva, accepted the principle that is codified in this pasuk, or maybe in a code form it's in this pasuk, namely that if he took a Shvuah Sheker, he has to return the object to Modai. Even Rabbi Tarfon agrees. Comes out at this point, L'chora, that both, we're going to talk a lot about this in a minute, but L'chora at this point in the conversation, in the presentation, the Gemara assumes that both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva agree to the fundamental principle on the Doraisa level of Shvuah Sheker generates a Holacha L'Modai. The Machlokas is going to be on a level between Rabbi Tarfon and Akiva on a Darabanan level. We're downgrading it to a Darabanan level. And that is, would the Rabbanan allow or insist on implementing the Doraisa? Rabbi Akiva says yes. You took a Shvuah Sheker. We're not going to have any compassion on you, Mr. Gazlan. You've got to accept the full brunt of the law and guarantee Yitnenu Lo that you return it to Modai, which means you have to guarantee that the Nigzal gets his possession back or his money, and in order to do so is chayav lahachzir lahashiv l'kol echad v'echad, because otherwise he's never going to get out of it. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. So it comes out like this, that at this point, if you were to make a chart, in 3 out of 4 boxes of that chart, everyone agrees that we implement the rule of our mission. What do I mean a chart? I'm going to take Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon on a Doraisa level. I'm going to take Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon on a Darabanan level. And in 3 out of 4 of those fill-ins, we're going to have an identical sheet as our mission. If we're talking about a Doraisa level, we're going to check both boxes, whether it's Rabbi Tarfon or Rabbi Akiva, because they both insist on a Doraisa level, since he took the Shvuah, that Yolich Achrav Lit Modai, and that certainly reflects our Mishnah. There's a third box that reflects our Mishnah, and that's going to be Rabbi Akiva on a Durabana level, meaning even Lamaisa, as we say, in practical terms, what we're going to do is we're going to implement the Rabbanon, I'm going to insist on implementing the Doraisal level, and since the Gazan took a Shvuah Sheker, the Gazan has to guarantee that the Nigzal has retrieved his object or its payment, and therefore, he has to be what? He has to be Meshalem Gzela L'chol Echad V'Echad. But there's one out of the four boxes of this little chart that we made, which is Rabbi Tarfon Halacha L'Maisa. And here's where Rabbi Tarfon insists that the Mishnah is going to make a Takon. That the Chachamim, I'm sorry, I said Mishnah, I meant to say Chachamim, I apologize for that. That the Chachamim are going to make a Takon. And this is what we call Takonas Hashavim. This Sanya, we learned in a Braisa. We're going to have to see what Rabbi Akiva is going to do with this Braisa. But in any event, the Braisa presents a statement of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik, Takona Gidola Hiskinu. I would add the word Chachamim here. Takona Gidola Hiskinu Chachamim. Sheim Haisa Hotsa Yisera Al Hakerem, that when the Torah imposes this upgraded Chiv Hashav that requires the Gazlan to take a slow boat to China, the expenses that the Gazlan is going to have to spend on getting the object back to the Nigzal is such that it exceeds even beyond Yisera Al Hakerem the value of the principle of the Gzela. The Chachamim said that even though the Torah, can you imagine, Rabosai, if a person steals a Shavah Pruta and it's going to cost them thousands of shekels or whatever your currency is to get the object back, this Shavah Dika Pruta, you know, it's one of those little toys that you get from those machines, they still have those things. You know, you put it in 10 cents or whatever you put in, and you get it's like a plastic with a little toy inside of it. And he's going to have to carry it all the way to Modai. I mean, they didn't have ways of sending it, you know. Well, even today, I don't know, are there any new methods that you can obviate the cost?
To find a way of sending, it's not good enough, anyway.
That's interesting. It might be good enough, but only when it's received. Do you remember that statement that we spoke about? And in this case, the Chachamim had compassion on this Gazlan who's doing tshuva. You know, on the one hand, we want to be harsh with him. You know, what a chutzpah, he stole something. But on the other hand, we want to be a little bit easy going on him because we want to make it feasible for him to encourage him, right? To encourage him to do tshuva and to return the object. You know, you can tell him, take a slow boat to China for the Shavah Pruta, he's not interested. You know, that far, he didn't become such a righteous person, you know. So to make it easier, facilitate him, what we did was, we allowed him to pay. So what do we allow him to do? Shem Haisa Hotsa Yisera Al HaKeren Mishalein Keren V'chomish LeBezdin. So he delivers the payment to the hands of the court and let the Nigzal come and collect it from the court. Again, I'm assuming now that this Takana of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Tzadik is not identical with Rashi's interpretation on our Mishnah of a Shliach Bezdin, because if you recall, the Shliach Bezdin is a courier that actually brings it back to the Nigzal. Here, we're not talking about someone, or we're not talking about Bezdin taking a slow boat to China. The object is in the hands of the Bezdin. They notify the Nigzal that he is free to come and pick it up whenever he gets a chance. And that means that according to the Chachamim Shita, all the Gazan has to do is take the object out of his Rishus. And how does he accomplish that goal? He can't just throw it into the Rishus HaRabim, you know. He deposits it in the hands of the Bezdin. That itself is, midrabbanan at least, a kiyum of the Chiyuv Hashav. Again, on a Doraisa level, Rabbi Tarfon agrees that this would not be sufficient. He took a Shvuah Sheker, and Yolichenu Achrav Lemada. Or alternatively, in the case of five people, he's got to make sure that each one of the five people receives the payment or the object. But the Rabbanan made this great takana in order to make it a little easier on the Gazlan, and maybe Ashamo Miskapel, as soon as he deposits the payments into the hands of the Bezdin, then he can bring his carbon Asham and clinch his kapara. That's all according to whom? Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that this takana of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, which by the way applies even without a shvua, I'm sorry, let me get that straight, even if he took a shvua, I meant to say, correct? What's Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik saying? The Chachamim, through this takana Hashem, are going to suspend the requirement of Yolichenu Le Madai, which applies in the case where the Gazan took a Shvua Sheker, and by alleviating him, the Gazan, of that responsibility of Yolichenu Le Madai, they allowed the Gazlan to deposit it in the hands of Bezdin. Now, Rabbi Tarfon takes this Takonis Hashav or Blazim of Tzadik one step further, applying it even in the case where he stole from one of five people, he doesn't know from whom he stole. We're going to see in a minute that Rabbi Akiva accepted the basic fundamental takana of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, but he rejected it in its application in the case of a person who stole from one of five people. Why is that so? So again, let's just understand where we're holding now. We have to understand the logic of Rabbi Akiva. The logic of Rabbi Tarfon is clear. Look, if we're very naive about it, it certainly makes a lot of sense. On a Doraisa level, the Gazal took a Shvua Sheker, Yolichenu Liam HaMelech, I say, Yolichenu LeMadai. On a Drabbana level, you have the Takanas HaShavim of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, just drop it off in the hands of Bezdin. Comes over Rabbi Tarfon and he says, if you're offering the Gazlan that takana, then what difference does it make whether he knows he can identify the Nigzal or he can't identify the Nigzal as one of five? In both cases, he can avail himself of this wonderful opportunity afforded to him by the Takanas Kachomer Blazar ben Tzaddik to deposit the Gzela in the hands of the Bezdin. So at this point in our presentation, what we have to rack our brains is to figure out Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is at a crossroads. He can do one of two things. He can either reject the Takanas Hashavim of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, you know, that he's got the right to do so. Rabbi Akiva's a Tana, he can say, I never accepted this Takana. Which means that we're back to the harsh requirement of the Torah that since this Gazan took a Shvua Sheker, he's got to take the Shava Pruta and get on an LL plane, you know, and spend $1,000 or whatever he's going to spend in order to make sure that the Gzela is returned to the Nigzal. No compassion for the Gazan. The other opportunity that we have here is to say that Rabbi Akiva also embraces this Takanas HaShavim of Blazar ben Tzaddik, but he refuses to apply it in the case of Gozal Echad Mechamisha. And I think it's the latter of the two that's more attractive to the Gemara. The Gemara does not want to push Rabbi Akiva over the line and say, you know what, let's reject the Takanas HaShavim. No. Rabbi Akiva says, Ki Ovid Rabbanu L'Takanta, when does it make sense that the Rabbanu would offer this opportunity, this Takana? Just leave it in the hands of Bezdin for the Gazlan. That's only Eichad the Yod Levan Gazlan. You can identify the Nigzal. D'Kamahadule Mamono L'More, because what happens after he deposits this object or this value in the hands of Bezdin? Bezdin picks up a phone. They notify the Gazlan, the Nigzal, and the Nigzal will come and pick it up from Bezdin either today, tomorrow, a week from now. It's irrelevant. Avol, but what about the case where Gazal me echad mi chamisha? Now, what's Bezdin going to do in this scenario? They only have one payment, and they got five lions, you know, five foxes that are trying to pounce on that payment. So, what are they going to do? Well, Yod Levan Gazli, they don't know who to notify and return. Lo hadar mamona lemare. At the end of the day, they're not going to return it. In other words, what's going to happen is, single file, five people are banging on the doors of Beis Din saying, that's my gzela, that's my chefetz hanigzal, I want it back. Well, when five people are banging on the door, Beis Din is not going to choose which one of the five people to give it to. Again, you and I might have said, well, let Beis Din investigate it with a shvua. Maybe only one of the five is willing to take a shvua and place his reputation on the line here. I don't know. But at this point, what I do know is that Beis Din are not going to take out of their pocket, let's say if it was 100 shekel, they're not going to take out 400 shekel from their pocket, add it to the 100 shekel to guarantee that each one of these pounders, you know, is going to get his 100 shekel. Because it's like bari v'shem alad bari adif. You know, you have no proof that it's yours. It's lo avid rabbanit takanto. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is involved in a balancing act. He's got a balance between the compassion of the Chachamim on behalf of the Nigzal in order to the Gazlan in order to encourage the Gazlan to come forward and fulfill his chiyuv of Eishes Hagzela and achieve his kapara. That's one thing. But on the other hand, the Chachamim have to worry about the Nigzal as well. You know, it's very nice that you care so much about the Gazlan, but to what an extent? To the extent to which the Nigzal will absolutely not get back what's coming to him? So we'll have compassion on the Gazlan as long as, says Rabbi Akiva, as long as we can guarantee that the Nigzal receive that which is due to him. Meaning, again, when the Nigzal is going to show up in Beis Din and collect his object, I don't know. That's his problem. You know, now he's sunning himself on the beaches of southern Spain. You know, so he doesn't have time to show up in Beis Din now. So that's his problem. But he definitely has been guaranteed access to his gzeil. Oh, in that case, let's be compassionate on the Gazlan, and instead of forcing him, you know, to go to Malaga, you know, in southern Spain, we'll let him deposit in the hands of Beis Din. But if the Nigzal, through this takana, will never receive his object, then we're not going to have compassion. Then we're going to throw the brunt of the law on the Gazlan and say, look, buddy, you stole this object, you took a shvur sheker, the Torah says, Yolichenu ad lamadai. And I'm sorry, buddy, but there are five. You know, you got yourself into this bind. You stole from one of five. Now, you know, again, within the balancing here, there may be situations where we could be a little bit compassionate and allow the Takanas Chachamim to apply, even in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference, even though he doesn't know which of the five people he owes it to, as long as he wasn't an outright deliberate criminal and stealing something that belongs to someone else. Because again, keep in mind, the halacha of Yolichenu ad lamadai in the case of a shvur sheker applies to anyone who denies a claim, a financial claim of a shavu pruta, and then goes ahead and takes a shvur sheker. Then he has to pay it back to the rightful owner, even if it means going all the way to madai. That applies to any kind of financial obligation in which you took a shvur sheker. However, I can be a little bit more compassionate about a person who didn't deliberately, with an outright criminal violation, get himself into this bar. Like, let's say, for example, every one of the people in this room is a vendor selling something. That's the Gemara's case coming up on the pipeline. Just as way of introduction. And I want to buy an object. And I take the object, the seller, I don't know which one of you gentlemen is the true seller, you know, stand up and make your claim. The seller gives me a certain credit and he says to me, you know what, pay me tomorrow. You don't have money on hand, cash on hand, come back in a week. You trust me. The trouble is that as the week goes by, I don't remember which vendor I bought it from. In this case, it was not a criminal act that I did by putting my hands into your pocket. You willingly gave me the object, but who is the you? We don't know. So that on the one hand, if I go ahead and take a Shavua Sheker, that's a pretty bad boy thing to do. But on the other hand, I wasn't a Goslin. So the initial suffix, you know, the doubt and the confusion that came up was not a result of a criminal act. In that case, maybe we should be a little bit more compassionate on him, apply the Takanas HaShavim, and let him get away with placing the object or its value in the hands of Bez. And that's what the Gemara is going to address in just a few lines. Okay. So let's now summarize where we're holding. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in the case of Gozal Echad Mechamisha. And he took a Shavua Sheker. Do we apply the brunt of the law, the Doraisa requirement of Yolichenu Ad Limadai, which means he's got to pay all five people to guarantee that the Nigzal got back his object? Or shall we apply the Takonis Chachavim, the Takonis Hashomer, Blodzvur Tzadik, of Meiniach Esagzela Bezdin and Dayo, that's all he has to do. And that's going to be the sheet of Rabbi Tav. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say, no, in this case, we're not going to apply the Takonis Hashovim. And Rabbi Tarfon says, yes, we will apply the Takonas HaShovim, and therefore we're going to suspend the Doraisa requirement of Yolichenu Ad L'Modai and Meiniach Sagzela Beinayim U'Mistalik. Now, Rabosai, here's where I get a little bit confused. There's a very long note here that goes on and on and on. It's half the page here, the other half the page here, in which he claims that at this point in the Gemara, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva and not Rabbi Tarfon. And I'll tell you where I become very baffled. Again, I don't want to get you confused if I'm confused, because that's not fair. But I don't see why we have to knock Rabbi Tarfon out of the box here at this point. Rabbi Tarfon basically agrees on a Doraisa level, if a person took a Shavua Sheker, if the Gazan took a Shavua Sheker, is Yolichenu Liyam, you know, Yolichenu Limoda. Narvas, in certain cases, we're going to allow the Gazan a way out, and just bring it over to Beis Din in order to implement this Takonis HaShavim that makes it easier for him to return the Gzela. And Rabbi Tarfon simply took that Takonis HaShavim and applied it, extended it even to the case of Gozal Echad Mechamisha. Where does Rabbi Tarfon do violence to our Mishnah? That's what I don't understand here. The only thing that maybe crosses my mind is that Rabbi Tarfon made a statement, Meiniach Esagzela Beinayim U'Mistalik, and maybe, see, I don't know, does Meiniach Esagzela Beinayim U'Mistalik mean that he deposits in the hands of Bezdin? Notice that Rabbi Tarfon didn't mention a word about Bezdin. So that's point number one. But even if you'll insist that Meiniach Esagzel Beinayim Mistalik is Bezdin, he also omitted another precondition here. And that is, in the language, Hoysa Yitzia Yisera Ala Keren. There was no discussion in Rabbi Tarfon as to what will cost more, the trip to Madai or the value of the Gzela. So that it seems that perhaps what he's saying here, I don't know, I'm just trying to, you know, trying to get a glimpse of it, get a grasp of it, is that maybe Rabbi Tarfon, you know, his language of Meiniach Esagzela Beinayim Mistalik sounds like either he doesn't have to deposit in the hands of Bezdin, because the word is Beinayim. Beinayim means amongst the five. Or alternatively, maybe the fact that Rabbi Tarfon didn't add this proviso that we're talking about Yisera ala Keren. I don't know. Okay. Now, at this point, the Gemara has a problem. Why? Because we're assuming that the machlokes shin Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva applies only if the gazlan took a shvua sheker. And we were compelled to take that position because otherwise Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon would not be reconcilable with that Mishnah if they would extend this principle, and certainly Rabbi Akiva, even to a scenario where he did not take a shvua sheker. And the Gemara has a brisa, in fact two different brisos, both of which are going to prove that the machlokes shin Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva revolves around a case where there was no shvua sheker. Masiv Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. Now the first of these two brises is a little bit more complicated, but hang in there because the second brise is a lot easier. I was even tempted to skip the first brise just to get, I like to do the easy stuff first, but the Gemara is not letting me do that. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar lo nechleku Rabbi Taf Rabbi Akiva al shelokach echad mechamisha v'eini yodea mi'ezeh ben lokach. What about a case where, as I described it earlier, he bought something from a vendor, he doesn't know which of the vendors, and each one of the sellers is claiming, you owe me money. Shemeniach dmei hamekach beinayim, I would add the word umistalik, meaning here, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that since the initial confusion was not generated by some sort of criminal act of gzela, therefore, we're not going to apply the pasuk of lasher hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmaso, because the ashma here is not on that level, and therefore, the chiyuv of laholich adli adlemadeh doesn't apply, and we go back to Rabbi Tarfon then. Even Rabbi Kiva goes back to Rabbi Tarfon of meniach es ha-domim in this case, beinam umistalik. So again, this entire halacha of Madai only applies in a chet, in an avera situation, namely gzela. But now we're talking about mekach, minus the avera element, therefore we don't apply Madai, and meniach es ha-gzela beinam umistalik. Alman nechleku shegazal echad michamish bnei yodim v'eini yodei ebezem. Rabbi Tarfon omer niyach dmei gzela beinam umistalik. Rabbi Kiva omer ein lo takana ad sheyishalem gzela l'chol echad v'echad. And now the Gemara, who is it? Rav Huna, right? Did I get that right? Yeah, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda is going to prove that we're talking about a case where there was no shvua. Why? The isal kedaitoch de ishtaba mali lokach mali gozal. The Gemara now is going to reject the premise that I was operating, that I presented to you. The Gemara says the following. The machayev of Achilchenu Limadai is the shvua. It's not the gzela. I was postulating that it's the original chet that was bolstered, or shall I say, you know, you added insult to injury by taking a shvua sheker. You got two strikes against you. And therefore, in the case of Mekach, we only have one strike against him. The original chet is not there. We're left with the shvua sheker. We're not going to impose the Madai requirement. The Gemara says, no, that's not so. Says Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, that the machayev of this upgraded hashava, namely Madai, is engendered by the shvua sheker itself. It's inherent in the shvua sheker. Therefore, if according to this brisa of, who is it, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, if in this formulation we're talking about a case where he took a shvua sheker, then the shvua sheker is enough of an act, a criminal act of gzela, to upgrade the hashavah to madai. And therefore, this statement of the brisa that Rabbi Akiva is moded to Rabbi Tarfon in the case of Mekach makes absolutely no sense. Al korchenu, we have no choice. That this brisa of Rabbi Shimon Elazar is talking about a case where there was no shvua. And he points out that when did Rabbi Akiva require that you return the gzela to all five of them? That's only because it was an act of gzela. But if it was an act of mekach, minus the element of chet, there is no achi lichena lamadai, and if we go back to the principle of Rabbi Tarfon, and even Rabbi Kiva embraces that principle of Meiniach es hadomim beinayim umistalik. In any way, the bottom line is it's crystal clear from this brisa that the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon is in a case where he did not take a shvua, and afal bichay, nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva insists that he has to be meishiv es hagzeil chol echad v'echad, applying the principle of madai even in the absence of a shvua sheker. Because again, let's just go over the logic. If we were talking about a shvua sheker, there'd be no difference. Mali, mekach, mali, gezel. Even in the case of mekach, once he takes a shvua sheker, that itself inherently engenders the chiyuv of yolichenu l'madai. And therefore, how could Rabbi Akiva say that in this case of mekach, I accept Rabbi Tarfon's position of meiniach sagzeil beinayim es abdomen beinayim mistalik? The answer must be, we have no choice, that we're talking about a case where there was no shvua. I'm sorry, we're talking about a case where there was no shvua. And if there was no shvua, then we have to go back to the question of chet. Would Rabbi Akiva require that he return it to each one of them? And the answer is, it depends. Mekach versus Gzela. So again, if he took a Shvua Sheker, there is no difference between Gzela and Mekach. But if there was no Shvua, then we can compare Mekach to Gzela. Mekach is a confusion, but it's not an Avera, it's not a Gzela, it's not an Achet. And therefore, Rabbi Tarfon is right. Meiniach beinayim umistalik. But if it was gzela, that's already a chet, and then we have to impose some sort of very strict penalty on the gazlan, requiring him to guarantee that the nigzal gets it back, and in doing so is mishalem gzela lechol echad v'echad. So that's the more complicated price. The second price is crystal clear, very simple. V'od masiv rav, I have another price regarding machlokas Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva. And this price against the previous price is going to hold that even in the case of mekach, there's a halacha of paying each one of them according to Rabbi Akiva. Maisa b'chassid echad, right? The Gemara is going to identify who this chassid is in a minute. Shalakach mishnei b'nei adam, this great righteous person purchased an object but doesn't remember from which of the two vendors. V'lo yodeh meizem en lakach, who bol lifnei Rabbi Tarfon, amalo, Rabbi Tarfon says to him, hanach dvei mikchecha beinayim v'istalik, who bol lifnei Rabbi Akiva, amalo, ein lecha takana ad shetishalim lechol echad v'echad. Again, against Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the previous price, so this version has it, that the argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon applies even to the case of Mekach. Now, how do we know that this is a case where there was no Shvua? V'yisal k'daitach dimishtaba chasid mimishtaba v'lshikra? Can it be that a chasid, as described in this brisa, would take a Shvua Sheker? V'chi tema, maybe it's a Baal Tshuva. And maybe he took the Shvua Sheker before he became a BT, right? But he came up to Mishtabe v'hodar havichasid. He says, "Hakol hecha de'amrina ma'isa b'chasid echa." That phrase, which appears in Brisos throughout the Tosefta, is "O Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, O Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi." Those are the two great chasidim before the Baal Shem Tov. And v'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, v'Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi, chasidim d'mei karavi, they were what we call FFBs, so they never took a shvuas sheker. So we're talking about a case proved from, we now have established with two different prices that the machlokshim Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is in a case where there was no shvuas sheker. Oh, so now the Gemara is going to have to adopt a position beyond a doubt, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the machlokshin Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Tarfon is where there was no shvua sheker. Eli olam, we're going to go back and we're going to say that Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon he, and there's no chiv of halachas hagzela lemadai because there was no shvua sheker. Umode Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon agrees that there is a situation in which you will have to return the gzela to each one of them. Hechad ishtaba. If he took a shvua sheker, because then we activate the principle at shiel kenu limadai, the parsha of lo titenu lo. And now our Mishnah is a perfect expression of Rabbi Tarfon's position. My timer, why, in a case we took a Shavuot Sheker, do we have to return it to Madai, the Omer Krol Asher Hu Lo Yitnena B'Yoma Shmoso? And Rabbi Tarfon's Meniach Esak Zela Beinayim U'Mishtab is in a case where he did not take a Shavuot. And that would be in perfect alignment with that Mishnah, because if there was no Shavuot, then the nitty-gritty definition of Chiyuv HaShava is to get it out of your Rishus, Mr. Galson. It doesn't mean that you have to guarantee that the Nigzal gets it. Rabbi Akiva, what's his view? Again, we're talking about where there's no Shavua Sheker. Afal Gav Delo Mishtabe Konis. Konis means they impose the penalty, Midrabanan, in which they required that the Gazlan, even though he didn't take a Shavua, must guarantee that the Nigzal gets his Gzela back. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon and not Rabbi Akiva, because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, even without a Shavua, he's got to be Molech as a Gzela Lemadai, and that's for Torah's Knas. But our Mishnah rejected that Knas because it reflects the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that as long as there was no Shavua Sheker, then he's not Chayev to be Molech. As long as there was no Shavua Sheker, he's not Chayev to be Molech Lemadai. But if there was a Shavua Sheker, he has to be Molech Lemadai, and that's exactly our Mishnah. So it comes out now that according to this Ukimta in the Gemara, the Machlok Shin Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva is in a case where Lo Nishva, the Svar the Machlokus is, do we impose a Knas or do we not impose a Knas? And in the case of Nishva L'Sheker, everybody agrees that he has to guarantee that the Nigzal gets it back. V'chayv L'Sham L'Kol Echad V'Echad. And our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon that did not accept the Knas. The Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon, are you telling me that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, and therefore the Gazlan would have to guarantee that it gets back to the Nigzal only if he took a Shvua? Michti Hecha de Mishtaba Lo Sagya de Lo Hoda. If you're telling me that he took a Shvua Sheker, then lo sagya delo hoda, which means it wouldn't be enough to say that he has a chiyuv kapara because he wasn't moda. He says einam eschayv kapara shvuaso v'yishavli de'agnagzal heich delo hoda el shabo ein. What happens if instead of the gazlan confessing on his own that he stole the object, two eidim testified that he stole the object?
There's no Shavua?
Oh, and then we have to know whether there's a Shavua or not. The answer is, again, because we're talking about our Mishnah, and our Mishnah insists that there's got to be a Shavua. So we try to work out our Mishnah according to Rabbi Tarfon, but that's going to be a problem. Why? And I'll quote to you the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'isvadu es chatosim eshar osu, v'heshiv es ashomo barosho, v'chamishoso yosef olov, v'nosan lasher osham lo. And it's clear that the Torah is talking about a case where visvadu eschatos. Visvadu means on his own initiative he came forward to confess his crime. Is then my iria v'nishba? What does our Mishnah mean when it says that he took a shvua? Is afil below shvua nami? The halach of being molech achrav le Madai should apply even if he did not take a Shavua. Why? Because we're talking about a person who wants to achieve Kapara. On his own initiative, he comes forward and he says, I want to be Yotze with the Bezen Shel Shamayim. I want to do everything that the heavenly courts would require of me, so that I guarantee absolutely Kapara. In that case, then, even if he didn't take a Shavua Sheker, he can never guarantee kapara without being molech lemadai. To sanyas, we learned to the price of moda Rabbi Tarfon be omer l'shnayim gazalti lechem mikem mona veini yodea eizem mikem shenosein lazemona vilazemon in top of kuvdalet of an olive shekfar hoda mitiatzmo. In other words, once he's balotzeis yodei shamayim, he came on his own initiative, and even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that he has to pay the gzeil to each one of them. And if that be the case, that Rabbi Tarfon is moda that in a case of Balatzis Yudeshmai, he has to give it back to each one of them, then it means that he has to be Molech Le Madai. And he's not Yotze Yedei Chavosa Achi Olichenu Le Madai. And our Mishnah says that only if he took a Shavua Sheker, then he has to be Molech Le Madai. If he didn't take a Shavua Sheker, it doesn't have to be Molech Le Madai. Elam Arava, Shiny Masnisa, the Keva de Yodalaman Gazle, the Odile, since he knows exactly who he stole from and he was mowed there, is Keva de Efshar. La Dure, Mamona Lamona, he has the ability of returning the moment to its rightful owner. Havile Kamadi Omale, it's as if the Nigzalit said to the Gazon, Yuli Biyodcha. You know what? Let the most be in your hands. Hilkath, therefore, Nishva, if the Gaza took a Shvua Sheker, Afal Gav Dika Omerle, Yu Li Biyodcha, came into Boy Kapori, needs a Kapori because of this terrible chait of a Shvua Sheker, Lo Sagia de Moti Liode. Then he has to bring it back to the Nigzal, nothing less will do. But Ha Loish Tabe, Havi Gabe, Pikodon. But if he didn't take a Shvua Sheker, then in effect the Nigzal is saying, heavy biyodcha, you know, let the bow stay in your hands, and he's willing to accept that. And in such a case, even as far as Bal Latzis Yidei Shamayim, he could be Yotze his Chiyuv, even though he didn't bring it back to the Gazlan, because the Gazlan said, the Nigzal said, heavy biyodcha. But in a case where he stole from one of five people, and he doesn't know from whom he stole, even if he wants to return the Gzela, he cannot return it to the Bailim because he doesn't know who the Bailim or the Nigzal is. There, we, in such a case, we cannot say Nasa ka Omerlo Yehei Omerlo Nigzal Yehei Lecha Gzela Kipivkad Biyodcha, because why would he say such a thing if it's not Omi Lashava? You know, the Nigzal is only willing to be magnanimous about it if he'll get back his object. So in this case, we have Machlok Shim Rabbi Tarf Rabbi Akiva. Is he chayv to be Mishalom Lekol Echad Mi Echad Mi Iker Adin, according to the strict letter of the law? And that's going to be the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Or rather, Kedei Lotzeis Yedei Shomayim. And that's going to be the sheet of Rabbi Tarf. Okay, Rabbi Osa, we'll stop here. And we'll Mitzvah Shem.